Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Lessons with Leaders, a special edition of Lehigh Valley Discourse. I am your host, Lori Siebert. Our producer tonight is Neil Heaver. This is Lessons with Leaders, a show where we have the opportunity to understand what makes the Lehigh Valley great and the leaders and people who get us there. We want to understand what drives them, lessons they would like to share, and why they call the Lehigh Valley home. My guest this evening is J.B. Riley, J.D., CPA, and co-founder and president of City Center Investment Corporation, a real estate development and management company in Allentown, Pennsylvania. J.B. Riley is co-founder and president of City Center Investment Corporation, a real estate development and management company in Allentown, Pennsylvania. CCIC is currently developing the second phase of its major mixed-use project, City Center Lehigh Valley. Riley serves on the board of directors of Cross America Partners, a leading U.S. distributor of branded petroleum for motor vehicles, and on the board of directors of MSPEX LLC, an engineering and manufacturing firm specializing in military solutions. He has more than 30 years of experience in commercial and residential real estate development and planning, finance management, and law. Riley is a founding partner of Landmark Communities, a portfolio of semi-luxury rental apartment complexes and Traditions of America, award-winning 50-plus communities nationwide. Riley served as chairman of the board of trustees of Lehigh Valley Health Network from 2009 to 2011 and was a trustee from 2002 to 2011. He's been a member of the board of trustees of Lafayette College since 2008 and was a trustee of DeSales University from 2002 to 2011. Riley has been active in various community and charitable organizations in Allentown and the Lehigh Valley for more than 25 years. Riley earned a bachelor's degree in economics from Lafayette College and received his Juris Doctor degree from Fordham University's School of Law. He is a certified public accountant and has been a member of the Pennsylvania Bar Association since 1987. Welcome to the show, JV.
Oh, thank you. Happy to be here.
We really appreciate you taking the time to come join us and give the Lehigh Valley an opportunity to get to know you a little bit better and what drives you to be so involved in Allentown in particular. Mm-hmm. So let's start with a little bit about your childhood. Right. You're from the Lehigh Valley.
Yep.
Can you tell me about that and if you're from a big family or a small family?
Well, my family moved here from Scranton, Pennsylvania in 1970. I'm the oldest of four children. My parents still live in the house we grew up in. I'm a product of the Salisbury High School. For, you know, most of my life, I've been a resident of the Lehigh Valley and, and certainly appreciate all the wonderful things about the Lehigh Valley and, you know, have, strong roots to my sister and brother, both still live here. We're happy to have made our family home here as well.
Cousins and
lots of cousins, and that's been great. There are 17 grandkids on my parents' side, and so the cousins are all very close, and that's really special.
That's great. That's sometimes why I think parents keep the family home, though, to have the children continue to come back.
Absolutely.
So you were the oldest of four. Right. How did that feel?
I got a lot of attention. I think at least in our family, you know, my parents, you know, their whole life really focused around the kids. And so I think that, you know, we all have a lot of confidence and we just got a lot of attention and support growing up. And I think that's helped me, I think, as an adult.
I'm one of six and my mother always made each of us feel like we were the special one.
Right.
And so I imagine that might have been what happened with you as well.
Yep.
Are your parents still with us then?
Yep, and thank God they're in good health.
And proud of you, I'm sure, for all of your accomplishments.
I think so.
That's very good. So let's talk a little bit about your childhood. So oldest of four,
right.
There's probably some level of responsibility for that as well, to be a good role model for your younger siblings. I don't know if you ever felt that, but as a child growing up, was there a strong work ethic at home?
Yeah, there was. I mean, I think that, growing up, my love was basketball. I played basketball, you know, as a youth and through in high school. And if I wasn't playing basketball, I was working. So as a young, probably in sixth grade, I started a lawn mowing business. And, uh, you know, I kind of built that up through high school, and you know, and had some other jobs. I worked in the at the Allentown Fair and ASD Stadium vending sodas, and so I was always, you know, I was always kind of entrepreneurial. I didn't necessarily want to work for a wage. I liked to kind of work on my own, and my parents were, you know, very encouraging with respect to that.
So did they allow you to manage your own finances with all that money coming in from your lawn mowing business?
I saved everything I made, and at a fairly, you know, probably when I was maybe about 14 or 15, I had accumulated maybe about $12,000 or $13,000, and I invested it in the mid-70s in the stock market. And that was kind of an early lesson for me, because if you remember, gaming got approved in New Jersey, in Atlantic City. And so I was buying stocks and options of some of the casinos down in Atlantic City. And I took the $13,000 or so up to about $40,000, you know, while I was, I think, a senior in high school. And then it crashed. The casino industry kind of hit a wall. And it was an early lesson, you know, about risk and investments that I'll never forget.
That's very good. And who was your mentor in that? Because even as a young child, as you're accumulating money in your bank account, at some point you had to have a conversation with someone about investing.
Yeah, well, as you can imagine, it was my father. And so, you know, and so I learned a lot about the stock market when I was younger, and, you know, investments, and, you know, learned about risk the hard way. But it was a good early lesson.
And also that your hard work, you could accumulate wealth that way as well. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about some of those other jobs. So you had a lawn mowing business, you said, and you did that through high school. Did you have a name for it?
No.
Word of mouth?
Word of mouth.
Around the neighborhood?
Yeah, word of mouth. I had a lot of long-term customers who I still see to this day, and they one of my favorite customers was Judge Kahn, Edward Kahn. If you know Judge Kahn, he has the federal courthouse named after him in Allentown. Anyway, so he always kids me around about cutting lawn and then playing basketball with me in his driveway. I've a lot of good contacts from those days.
Yeah, and so then you went on to Lafayette College.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a reason you wanted to stay local? What drew you to Lafayette College?
You know what? Probably not really any really great reason, frankly. You know, I didn't have, you know, it was probably the best school I could get into when it's a great school. So that was probably part of the driving force. A neighbor across the street and my longtime best friend Mike Brown went there, and so when he decided to go there, I figured if it was good enough for him, it was good enough for me, and so I decided to go to Lafayette.
That's great, and I think it probably worked out.
It was one of the best decisions I ever made.
I know someone else who went to Lafayette, and they said Lafayette made them a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you how to be a gentleman. In college, did you work or play basketball?
No, I, you know, most, you know, other than summer jobs, you know, really kind of, you know, focused on schoolwork and had some fun. But I did a semester abroad, which was really broadening for me, because I had never been abroad. And I spent a semester at the London School of Economics, and that gave me an opportunity to travel around Europe. You know, back in the early 80s, you know, it's kind of different today. There was no cell phones.
Right.
So you were really kind of out of touch for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a really great experience for me.
And from there, you were an economics major at Lafayette. Something drew you to law school.
Well, actually, before that, I was an economics major with a minor in accounting, and I took enough accounting courses to sit for the CPA exam. And because Lafayette's a liberal arts school, I was only able to use 6 accounting courses towards graduation, but you needed 8 to sit for the CPA exam. So I ended up getting 2 accounting courses, additional courses at Lehigh, And that allowed me to sit for the CPA exam. And that's when I went, and then after college, I went to work for Arthur Andersen and Company. And that really is where I kind of got exposed to real estate development and real estate investments, because I was on some audit assignments where we were auditing real estate partnerships. And so that's really what kind of piqued my interest. And I met a longtime business partner and friend, Tim McCarthy, there, who we ended up co-founding Landmark Communities and Traditions of America, and started my real estate business. So then when I went back to law school the next year, while I was in law school, Tim and I started literally, buying 2 and 3 and 5 unit apartments in Philadelphia and in Allentown. And then when I got out of law school and graduated from law school in 1987, Tim left Andersen, and we basically started our real estate development business with an office in Allentown and an office in Philadelphia.
So the law led you to the real estate, but what an opportunity you had from all of these experiences as a child, the entrepreneurial spirit,
right.
The risk-taking,
right.
And understanding what risk really means,
right.
Getting the foundation with the economics,
yep.
CPA, you were just built for this future that you might not have even envisioned
at the time. Everything but experience, but I think that, I think, going through and seeing my father, worked for Prudential Insurance and he was, started as a sales agent and became a very successful manager for Prudential. But I think he always wanted to be an entrepreneur. But, once you have 4 kids and a mortgage and so forth, it's hard to, it's hard to take a lot of risk. And so I think one of the lessons that I kind of learned or saw early in life is that, when you're young is when it's easiest to take a risk. When you have nothing to lose, it's easy to take a risk. And so, I had some opportunities to work for law firms in Philadelphia. I chose to, basically start my own business, in 1987, full time. And, it was hard, but it was like, what did I have to lose?
Had you met your wife yet at this point?
I just met her in 87 when I was, like between my second and third year of law school. So when I was kind of in this process of transitioning from a full-time student, part-time real estate person, that's when I met Kathleen.
Okay.
So she had, fortunately, she had a good job. So she had, she worked for what is now Accenture. It was Andersen Consulting at the time. And so she had health benefits and a steady paycheck, and I was the entrepreneur starting out.
Well, I was just imagining, as you mentioned about your father having 4 children and realizing he is entrepreneurial as he may have been, he had to keep in mind the family.
Right.
And then I thought, when you marry, your spouse has to be able to tolerate that
right.
risk-taking as well.
Yeah, and Kathleen's always been very supportive, and there's enough pressure, in starting your own business without having other pressures. And so it was nice, to have somebody that was so supportive.
Well,
all these years.
And Tim Murphy must have been
Tim McCarthy,
excuse me, must have been a nice guy, because she probably thought, well, if Tim's doing it,
he's a great partner and really smart and, learned a lot working with Tim over the years and still do.
That's great. When people say your name, because you're well known in the community for the development in Allentown,
right.
People probably think real estate developer.
Right.
Is that what you think of when you think of yourself? Would you call yourself real estate developer, or is there some other terms you would use?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think about that, but, that's my job. I mean, that's what I do, father, husband, friend, all those, very involved, involved in the community. I think what's been interesting about the project in Allentown is that up until 6 or 7 years ago when I got involved in that project, I was kind of under the radar screen. We did a lot of development in the Lehigh Valley, but people didn't necessarily know my name. And now being involved in a kind of a higher profile project makes, everything very public. And, you know, and overall, that's probably not a great thing. But that kind of comes with the territory, unfortunately.
Yeah, I had a sense you might be more of a private person. But when you are having to kind of promote what's going on in Allentown, part of that promotion is understanding the passion behind it and what drives you to do it. So it's not just about being a real estate developer, but more this entrepreneurial skill. This entrepreneurial mission that you might have. So looking for going from city center, it started with this landmark community. So I want to take some time to talk about that. But before we move on to that and we take our first break, let's talk just for a minute, one last bit about the family, and you have children of your own.
Right. We have Kathleen, my wife Kathleen, and I have three beautiful children, our two daughters and a son. Our oldest is a graduate from Georgetown. She's in banking, investment banking now, works with a private equity firm in New York. She's 25. Our middle daughter, Tricia, she's just finished her second year of law school at Fordham, where I went. And our youngest son, Jack, just graduated in May from Lafayette College.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
did any of them have a lawn business?
They didn't have a lawn business. They probably a little different path than I have, but they're all ambitious. You know, Maggie, the oldest one's been, you know, she's in her fourth year from out of college. And you know, if you know anything about the investment banking world in New York, you know, you're working about 80 hours a week.
Right.
So she has a strong work ethic. And Tricia, the middle one in law school, again, you know, she's done quite well in law school. And I think that's a function of the hard work she puts in there as well. And, you know, Jack's right there with them.
And does Jack have plans?
Jack's actually going to come to work for our company.
Very good.
So he'll start on the bottom and learn the business. And I think he had some options to at a couple other places, but we're doing so many interesting things at City Center, and we've got such a great team and a particularly great group of young people that I think the environment is going to be really good for him in terms of learning and getting some really great experience.
And especially important to bring that young perspective to City Center as well and to Allentown, because that's what we want to draw as well.
Absolutely.
Folks, we are talking with J.B. Riley and Lessons with Leaders. We will be back in just a moment.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Lessons with Leaders. My guest this evening, J.B. Riley, co-founder and president of City Center Investment Corporation, and we're having a conversation about his background, what makes him a leader, why he stayed in the Lehigh Valley, and we're continuing our conversation. So, J.B., we've been talking about a little bit about your background, your entrepreneurial spirit since you were a child, your great upbringing by your parents. I think that there's a lot behind those who are leaders today to have that good background and that solid foundation of strong parents who make their children feel special. And you touched on a little bit your growth in doing your own business, then making some of your own investments through age 14 through high school, and how you learned about risk and risk-taking at that point. But then also as you moved through your education and your early career and taking some risk with a friend and partner in starting some real estate dabbling. Mm-hmm. You mentioned buying some properties in Philadelphia, I believed. Right. So you went from there into building bigger communities. Can you talk about your transition and what that was like? You mentioned it was early 80s.
Right.
Kind of take us back there.
Sure. Well, you know, in the late 80s, my partner and I were doing a series of, you know, kind of modest-sized rehabilitation projects in Center City, Philadelphia, and in Allentown. And then in the late 80s, we got into our first larger project, which was Brookfield Apartments. It was 136 units, and we didn't know anything about building, but, you know, we kind of figured it out. I remember spending the 18 months in a job trailer and really learning how to build. And the first project was, you know, very successful, and that kind of really got us started. The challenging time in the late 80s, if you remember, 1990, 91, there was a recession, you know, kind of caused by the savings and loan crisis. And so, you know, it was very hard to borrow money. And, you know, one of the early lessons we learned is that, you know, you needed to be well capitalized. And we were well capitalized. We raised, you know, money from outside investors, and we made sure there was enough equity in our business, in our projects, so that if we hit a bump in the road, we'd be able to sustain it. And we did. And that really kind of launched our career in the early 90s. And so up until about 1997, we were doing, you know, apartment complexes, land subdivisions, historic renovations in Philadelphia, those kinds of projects. And then we kind of came on to something that was really a really interesting opportunity. We were approached by a gentleman that started this business called Traditions of America. It was an active adult home building business before anybody even knew what it was, other than the Sun City development in the Southwest. There was no such thing as active adult in the Northeast. And anyway, to make a long story short, we bought this business, and we really then, you know, built this brand, Traditions of America, Tim and I. And the interesting thing about that business is that, you know, we liked the fact that it was a real estate business, so it had all the real estate development aspects. But it was more than just real estate development. It was really building communities around lifestyle. And so we became very in tune to, you know, whatever you want to call it, a value add real estate development. But it was more of a business as opposed to a project. You know, we were building a brand. We were building communities that people were moving to because they were seeking a lifestyle. So the amenities, how you program amenities, all those things became very important to be able to successfully develop this brand. And although today I'm more of a passive investor in different projects of Traditions, because of, you know, when I got involved with the Allentown project, it was too time consuming. So I transitioned out of the management of Traditions. But Traditions is the largest active adult home builder in Pennsylvania. I think there's six or seven active communities across the state, and it's I'm very proud of being involved as a co-founder of that company.
Well, JB, I have to tell you, I have often been in conversations with folks, clients, and you say, "Where do you live?" And they say, Traditions. And so yeah. it really was a movement. Yeah. And so valued for yeah. people who had that need.
My mother-in-law lives in a Traditions community, and she loves it.
And it brought community to these people who right. otherwise, by staying in their homes, right. didn't really have that same community.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been very impressed with the results of people that I've known that have been in those. And then the next question is, which one?
She's at Wild Cherry Knoll, which is a community we built in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So,
but quite often that's what people yeah. are saying. You say Traditions, you say which yeah. one, and then there's a number of them. So that's really, tell me how that impacted you when you went from the 136 apartment building in Philly to mm. now seeing this side of it. Was there a switch in your mind?
You know,
that you thought,
of,
what else can I do with this?
Well,
building communities?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, personally, I was, you know, I've been doing the home, you know, I've been home building, apartment building, land development for, you know, 25 years at that point, you know, up until when I got involved in the Allentown project. And so I was kind of interested in doing something different. And when the Allentown redevelopment project kind of presented itself, all because I had bought some properties from Wachovia Bank in 1999. So I had a whole series of parcels in downtown Allentown that I've owned for almost 20 years now. you know, once we became aware of the legislation and what we could do with that project, it really kind of piqued my interest again because, you know, it was an opportunity to be part of a revitalization of your hometown. And so that was very compelling and very powerful for me. And you know, as we started planning and as that development has evolved over the last 7 years, you know, you can see that it is really starting to have a significant impact on Allentown.
I worked in Allentown at one point. I lived in Allentown. So right. It's very exciting to see.
Yep.
And you see more people going into the restaurants, to the PPL Center. Right. So businesses, meetings downtown, right. Because companies have moved there and have folks coming in. Is Tim McCarthy still involved with you?
He's not involved in City Center, but I have another partner named Joe Topper that is involved in that project because we have some common business interests that were, you know, aligned to, you know, in Allentown. So he and I are partners in that project.
So City Center, how did that evolve then from doing the communities? You saw an opportunity. What was that opportunity that you saw? Was it the legislation, as you said? Came first?
Well, what
the PPL Center, the NIS?
Well, what happened is the NIS legislation was passed in 2009, and then about 2 years later, the city decided to put the boundaries of a part of the boundaries of the legislation in downtown Allentown. And it just so happened that we had a lot of property around 7th and Hamilton that we've had, as I said, for almost 20 years now. And so once we became aware that the arena was going to be there, we started researching the legislation and realized that there's an opportunity for us to do some development. And initially we thought, okay, maybe we can build a building. Maybe we can build an office building there. But then once we kind of dug into it and really understood the robustness of the NIS legislation, and we were able to kind of test the waters with a couple potential anchor tenants like Lehigh Valley Health Network and National Penn Bank, we quickly realized that, you know, the opportunity was much bigger than we originally thought. And then that led us to really thinking about the development in Allentown really as a master urban development. And, you know, given the blighted state of affairs in downtown Allentown, we knew that, you know, we had to create scale to change perception. And so with those large commitments, we were able to anchor commitments. We were able to, basically come out of the gates with two big office buildings and a hotel that came online in conjunction with the building of the arena. In fact, you know, one of the office buildings and the hotel are connected to the arena itself. So that all happened in 2014. And so that kind of, I think, created enough of scale, critical mass, that I think that a lot of the naysayers started to think, oh, well, maybe this will work. And so now fast forward 4 years, we've continued to develop, and I think we actually have hit a point now where, you know, businesses are interested in being in urban areas. When you look at all the millennial consumer preferences, millennials, and I've got three of them, you know, they want to be in urban environments. Employers, employers that have an educated workforce, their ability to attract and retain their educated workforce is determined by, you know, the work environment that they have. And again, so now what's happening is a lot of businesses are looking at Allentown as a real positive for their business model because their ability to attract educated workers. And even places like PPL will tell you, Bill Spence will tell you at PPL that, you know, his ability, PPL's ability now to recruit in Allentown is much more enhanced than it was 6 or 5 years ago when we had the blighted downtown. So I think and what's happening in Allentown, frankly, is happening all over the country in terms of, you know, there's just an urbanization going on in America. Most cities we have just looked down in Philadelphia and New York, you know, they're really booming. And so I think if we can create, you know, the right environment in Allentown, we'll be successful to attract businesses and residents.
I know when I was in Allentown, I liked the ability to be able to walk Mm-hmm. Walk to the library, walk to the store, walk to the farmer's market. And it's always encouraging and uplifting to see communities where you see people out in the right. streets and being a community. And
it's very civil to drive to work in the morning, park your car, and conduct all your business and your personal matters by foot.
Yeah.
You know, and if you happen to be living downtown, it's even better. Then you don't even have to drive to work. So that's and I think people are getting that. You know, it's just so. You know, and now we've got Merrill Lynch is moving in, just moved in. You know, Morgan Stanley's down there, Air Products, you know, LVHN, BB&T, and on and on and on. It's reestablishing itself as the financial center and the professional office center of the Lehigh Valley, kind of like it was back in the 70s. I was joking, Jeff Vaughn and I were joking the other day about when Merrill Lynch just moved back into downtown Allentown, my first brokerage account in the mid-70s was with Merrill Lynch, and they were up on the 1100 block of Hamilton Street. And at that time, all the brokerage firms were in downtown Allentown. And so it's nice to see Allentown reemerge as, you know, the financial district center of the Lehigh Valley.
JB, build it and they will come. do you like Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Build it and they will come.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a lot of work to bring Merrill Lynch back.
Yeah.
From when you were a kid.
Yeah, it was. It took 40 years.
So part of building the community too and having that urbanization is also having access to those things that not just the millennials want, but I would say even our over 50 communities.
Right.
So you have those over 50 communities that are very interested in that traditions type of model
right.
that you've built. But there are also a lot of over 50s are very interested in the urban.
Well, you're exactly right. And when you look at the two big demographic waves in the United States, it's the baby boomers and the millennials. And those are both and those demographics tend not to have children. School-age children, so they're not concerned about the school district, and they're interested in the lifestyle, and you know they want socialization, and that's really what the heart of any lifestyle is. It's socialization. People want to be able to interact with other people, mm-hmm. And you know, whether it's active adult community like what Traditions does, or living in an urban environment where you have bars and restaurants and you know, art museums and the theater to be able to, you know, interact with people. And, you know, that's really what it's all about. It's about creating an environment that, you know, it's all about lifestyle. It's all about socialization. It's all about, you know, the urban buzzword is placemaking, create public spaces that people want to be in, and then program it with music and art and so forth. And so that's kind of what's really driving our master planning of the downtown. And the more critical mass of people living and working downtown, the more lifestyle really that gets created. So, you know, I think that we're starting to get to, you know, a tipping point where people, you know, are recognizing that, hey, this is a real city.
Mm-hmm.
We're just about there.
And I think 2 years ago, there was always the fear of driving into Allentown for the parking. Because
right.
there's a lot of one-way streets
right.
In downtown, and I think that sometimes makes people
that's a problem.
Makes some people a little bit nervous about that. But at the same time, there are parking structures and parking availability. And did that come into some of your planning too? Because I know I've gone to the Phantoms,
yeah.
the PPL Center for the hockey,
right.
and frankly, it's really not bad getting in and out of the parking.
Well, the whole reason that the city made the decision to put the arena downtown was because there were about 3,500 existing parking spots, you know, structured parking places within two blocks of 7th and Hamilton. On top of that, we've added another 3,000 or 4,000 spaces. So there's almost 7,000 to 8,000 spaces of structured parking downtown, which is a phenomenal amount of parking. Now, getting people, you know, we're in a suburban, you know, part of the world, a suburban environment. People want to park and see the front door of wherever they're walking into. And so, you know, I think there's an acclimation process that is happening now. But the fact of the matter is that there's lots of parking. It's you know, you can park within a block of anything you do in downtown Allentown. And it's very inexpensive or free. But I think that that's just going to take a little more time. You raised the issue about one-way streets. If I was king, I would eliminate all the one-way streets and change them all to two-way streets so that we really slow down the traffic and we make it more pedestrian friendly to tie the neighborhoods in together.
Yeah. Well, and back to that kind of walking, but also making it look nice. When you go downtown Allentown, the sidewalks, the buildings, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really coming alive. It's something to visit. It's something to live and experience. And or outdoor spaces, a lot of the restaurants
arts
have.
Walk. Yep.
There's
a lot of, and that stuff is all starting to come together. And again, part of our planning was to, create this pedestrian-friendly urban environment that people wanted to be in. And those spaces are kind of at the core of that.
Well, it sounds wonderful. And when we come back from our next break, which we're going to have in just a minute, we're going to continue our discussion with J.B. Riley of City Center. And we are going to talk a little bit more about City Center itself. You're the CEO, and I want to talk a little bit about your business and inspiring those future leaders, those kids who have the lawn mowing business and or those upstarts at Lafayette College. So we will continue our discussion in just a moment.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, and Galicia, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Lessons with Leaders. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am speaking with J.B. Riley, co-founder and president of City Center Investment Corporation, a real estate development and management company in Allentown, Pennsylvania. We've been talking about the revitalization of Allentown and the redevelopment and that vision. And as an entrepreneur, you have to have a vision. Mm-hmm. And that has evolved over time as you've gone through your various careers and partners that you've worked with. So we were speaking about Center City Allentown and the development that's gone on, and bringing back communities, building communities. Mm. And building communities in a city is a little bit different than in the suburbs. So let's talk a little bit more about where your vision is with the development in Allentown.
Well, if all we do is successfully redevelop the downtown business district and we don't impact the neighborhoods around the downtown, we will not have been successful. And so we're very focused, aware and focused on the neighborhoods around the downtown. And there's a lot going on there right now. The problems are so extreme that, it may seem like, we're not moving the needle, but there is an awful lot going on right now, with the United Way, with, companies like PPL, Air Products, City Center, Trexler Trust, Century Trust, Pool Trust, LVHN. There is just a tremendous amount of resources and human resources, financial resources put into these neighborhoods. And so that's a big focus of City Center. And, our strategy in working with these other community partners is really around education, housing, and health. And with respect to housing, one of the big problems in these neighborhoods is that there's such high transiency that, kids are moving in and out of these schools. There's substandard housing. And so You know, we have home ownership programs. We're working with the city to come up, and we'll be coming out with this, I think, in the next 30 days. You know, a robust program to renovate properties for affordable, you know, workforce housing, affordable type housing situations, and also coming up with plans to increase the home ownership rate. You know, right now the home ownership rate in these areas is less than 20%, and really any healthy community needs to have at least 50% of home ownership, both market rate and affordable users, and so that's a big piece of it. And then on the education side, you know, getting kids to read by at grade level by third grade is obviously the you know, that's the key, because if you're not reading by third grade, you've got a tough life ahead of you. And so, you know, giving opportunities for every kid to have an early childhood education, and then helping the school district and supplementing programs with after school programs to help these kids get to, you know, reading by third grade, work with the parents. I mean, they've got to be speaking, you know, English at home. Mm-hmm. Because if a kid is going home and they're not, you know, not being read to, and they're not exposed to English, they're not going to be reading by third grade. And it's a long life if you're not reading by third grade in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a lot of focus around programs that are going to get, you know, they're going to move these kids. And it's a lot's happening already, but that is something that we're keenly focused on. And then around healthcare, you know, you've got LVHN, you've got St. Luke's downtown. We've got, you know, great resources, and we need to, you know, continue to support these kids, nutrition, healthcare. You know, just give them a chance. So we're excited about that, and that's probably, you know, we're probably as passionate about that as we are about the economic development that's happening in downtown.
Right. So back to kind of build it and they will come. You build the community, and the idea is you yourself would like that to be fostered and flourish, and in doing that,
right,
helping those neighboring communities will continue to feed that as well. Right. Jobs come. We hope then that some of those people who've been living in those communities, maybe who might not have had employment previously, might have more opportunities.
Right.
And when they have more opportunities for employment, they might have more opportunities for home ownership.
Yep.
When you have home ownership, you have more opportunities for keeping the kids in an environment where they can continue to learn and get that education they need versus transitioning.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, there's probably 1,000 jobs that have been created downtown in the last couple of years that are being filled by people in you know, residents of Allentown, but they tend to be the lower skilled jobs. And the reason they're the lower skilled jobs is because the educational level of these, you know, people living around in these neighborhoods, it, you know, doesn't qualify them for a higher skilled job. What we have to do is improve the educational levels so that, you know, that we have these, you know, family sustaining type jobs that our local people are qualified for. And it's not going to happen overnight. And we know that. But you got to start somewhere.
Right. And, you know, we all started with jobs mowing lawns,
yep,
babysitting. I used to clean someone's house.
Yeah.
A job builds your resume.
And you don't necessarily need to have a college degree, but, you know, start as a waiter, become a manager, you know, and who knows what comes about. But education, opportunity, you need to create, you know, opportunities and a framework to allow people to get themselves out of poverty.
So when we talk about getting out of poverty, being self-motivated, entrepreneur, some of that are leadership skills. We're we have to be a leader for ourselves, not just for our families or the oldest of four children or the father of three children. Being a leader can be really almost a discipline in choosing what you're going to do. Let's talk a little bit about you being the leader of City Center. You're the CEO.
Right.
You have a team around you.
Right.
Quite often I hear leaders say, you know, they're not really leaders, it's the team.
Right.
Talk to me a little bit about your team. I was really excited to see the number of women you have in executive roles.
Right.
What are you looking for when you're putting a team together as far as leadership skills?
Well, I mean, we want people that are, you know, hardworking, committed, smart, you know, can communicate, you know, that are self-starters, that have the ability to develop other people. You know, as we always say in our office, there's no place to hide. Everybody has an important role in what City Center is doing. And we value everybody's role. And you know, you own the work you're doing. And so we're really fortunate that we've kind of put together a team of people. We only have maybe 20, 22 people that are kind of in our kind of corporate and managerial offices there. And it's a great group of people. They're all self-starters. They all have a lot of passion. They work hard. We're very collaborative. I think there's a sense of humility in the office, everybody's opinion is valued. But we expect, as we always say, results matter. You know, it's great that you try hard, but you know, we do focus on results my job, I think, is to try to, you know, I bring urgency every day to the office, and we try to create an environment where people can be successful. So we try to give them the right support, the right mentorship, I'm really pleased that we have, you know, the right chemistry and we've got the right group of people, and we have several people. We probably have more senior people in our office that are females than males, and that just, you know, I'm not sure why that happened, but that's just, you know, we don't really look at it whether you're a male or a female. It's about being able to do the job.
Right.
Well,
I like that it's results oriented, but your opinion matters, because when someone does have great ideas, and if you are yourself an entrepreneur, sometimes you attract others who have that entrepreneurial spirit. And if you really demonstrate that their opinion matters, it's almost a catalyst for more ideas, creative thinking. Where are we going? Thinking outside the box.
And that happens, you know, every minute in our office. I'm creative from a real estate development standpoint, but I'm not creative from an architectural standpoint or a design standpoint. And so, you know, I mean, you want people with different skill sets, different perspectives, and also people that can listen to each other and collaborate. Because there's a cost, there's a design component, there's an execution component, there's a management component. I mean, when you're doing real estate, and now in Allentown, there's this kind of external component. There's a political component. There's a neighborhood component. And so there are a lot of perspectives and ideas that will go into kind of the development of a project. I think that's one of the reasons why we've been reasonably successful downtown.
You made a comment. You said there's always a sense of urgency. If I'm recalling correctly, a sense of urgency. Where does that come from, and what is it about that makes you successful and your team successful?
Well, if I was to give myself, you know, what's my strongest attribute is that I think I'm very focused. You know, and I think that focus creates urgency in it, and I think that permeates through the organization. You know, and I think that, you know, we try not to waste time. We don't want to spin wheels. You know, we want to focus on the most important things that are in front of us. And so I think that's probably my job, is to bring that focus and energy to the company every day. And I do.
Well, it's interesting because just hearing some of the stories you've been telling, one of the reasons I'm wondering if some of that focus comes from, you've been in situations where you realized you had to be thinking ahead, you had to have some vision. So while you focus on today, it's actually focusing so that you can envision what's coming up, so you can be prepared for it. Whether it was you taking that risk with your account and investing and then you lost it, or that vision with the loans when you were doing the apartments in Philadelphia, all of a sudden you go into real estate and you might not be able to get the capital you needed. Right. So you learn that lesson. So while you can have vision, there's also something about being present as well. In the being present and focused today, you're anticipating.
Right.
Possibly? Is that where part of it comes from?
No, I think it is. And it's really being able to identify what the risks are and what the real hurdles are to success. You know, knowing where you want to go, but then understanding, you know, how am I going to get there and where do I need to be spending my time? You know, what are the things that are, you know, understanding risk and how to mitigate risk? That's business 101. You know, a successful business person, that's where they spend, like, you know, they spend their time on the problems. I mean, or trying to anticipate what those risks are. Yeah, you need a good vision and a good model, and you want to be optimistic and you want to be innovative and all of that, and we are. But you also need to understand where the risks are and how you're going to navigate around those risks, because if you don't, the idea never gets executed.
Right. And so if you work with a bit of that urgency as well, you have more time to resolve if there is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like anticipating. So that's great. You are a leader in the community, I would say, mm-hmm. at this point, despite maybe having some anonymity for mm-hmm. several years. Now mm-hmm. you're kind of front and center.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like being a leader was something inherent that you had, or do you feel it as a responsibility or something that has evolved over time?
You know, I think it's evolved, and I think it you know, I think that when you're in a position where you can affect change, then I think it's, you know, you have a responsibility to do that. At least I think we do. I mean, we've been blessed to be, you know, to have this critical role in the revitalization of Allentown. And with that, I think, you know, everybody in our organizations feels a responsibility to do more for the community, to figure out how we create generational success. You know, I remember coming down to Allentown in the 70s and walking Hamilton Street.
Yeah.
You know, it's much different now. It's you know, in some ways I think it's better, it's different and it's better, but I think I feel kind of an obligation to give back.
That's great.
And I think we're blessed in the Lehigh Valley to have a lot of community leaders that feel that way. I mean, the generosity and the commitment that community leaders have in the Lehigh Valley is really extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the United Way this year, you know, had an all-time record campaign, mm-hmm. where other United Ways across the country are actually seeing their campaigns decrease. You know, we had this phenomenal campaign, and that's really a tribute to, you know, the engaged, dedicated leadership in the Lehigh Valley.
Well, Bill Spence.
Bill Spence is just
chairman.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Bill is.
I'm very involved with the United Way,
yeah.
So I'm very excited that we could talk about that for a moment.
Yeah.
Your wife, Kathleen, is very passionate about education as well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just take a minute to talk about some of your drive behind education, mm-hmm. and supporting education?
Well, you know, Kathleen is, very knowledgeable and very passionate and committed, you know, about education, and is involved in all kinds of, you know, areas. One particular organization that we are very supportive of is Community and Schools, and what they're particularly doing in the Allentown School District with their, keeping kids in school and getting them to graduate. And then they have
preschool programs.
The preschool programs. They're doing, you know, they do so much with particularly older children, but you know, we're very involved with the Baum School, Moravian Academy, you know, all kinds of initiatives with the United Way. City Center is gonna you know, sponsor Central Elementary School this year. As their adopted school, so we're going to be providing a lot of programming and also mentorships there, we're also, and Kathleen is a big proponent of this. We're gonna underwrite the Leader in Me program for all three schools in downtown Allentown, and those are just such great important programs. And if you see these kids that are in these Leader in Me programs, it just makes your heart melt. When you hear them talk about, you know what they're doing in school, it's just, I get emotional even talking about it.
I know Truman Elementary had it, yeah. And I went for a day to witness it. I was so impressed. So that we applaud you for that. Thank you so much for doing that. We have just a minute left. Who's one of your best role models, would you say?
Oh, I mean, I've blessed to have lots of role models, you know, beginning with my parents. And, you know, over the years, you know, think about like people like Elmer Gates, who passed away a few years ago. I mean, there's just so many great role models and, you know, contemporaries, friends that, you know, I have so many friends that, you know, make you better. People like Bill Spence and Scott Fainer and John Malloy and those kinds of, you know, more peers, but also role models in their own way. But again, the Lehigh Valley's, you know, there are lots of great examples out there.
And I think that's a great way to put it, that it's those people who make us better. So right. Any of us can attach ourselves to someone who makes us feel better.
Mike Caruso from, I don't know if you know Mike, from Lehigh University, another just wonderful person that, you know, if you could follow in their footsteps, you know you're going to go in the right direction.
Well, JB, thank you so much for coming in and taking the time to talk to us. It was great to get to know you a little bit better and to learn about your connection to the Lehigh Valley and your vision, and continued success to you and to City Center and
thank
Center.
You. So it was my pleasure.
City, Allentown.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This has been Lessons with Leaders, and we've been talking about lessons on leadership with J.B. Riley and his City Center team and their endeavors for their continued dedication to the Lehigh Valley. We wish them the best. Thank you to Neil Heaver, our producer, and especially to our listeners. Be your best with purpose and passion, and you will be a leader. Have a lovely tomorrow.